From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Protesters in Bahrain are vowing to continue to press for political reform, despite a violent crackdown on demonstrators in the capital today that left four people dead. NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Manama and tells us the government is defending its actions.
The government on state TV has been saying that these were not unarmed protesters, that in fact they had swords and other weapons, and that they had been warned by a bullhorn to leave the Pearl Square, the central square where they've been camped out before the 3 a.m. raid. The demonstrators I spoke to said they heard no warning and they were certainly unarmed. But that is the official position, and the defense ministry said it acted because it had to restore order and security. And the interior ministry said the protests were illegal and that all avenues for negotiation had been exhausted.
NPR's Peter Kenyon in Manama. The Obama administration is calling on authorities there to exercise restraint.
We'll remember in November.
Protesters in Madison, Wisconsin, threatening political consequences if state lawmakers approve a bill that would largely strip public employees of collective bargaining rights. The bill was proposed by Republican Governor Scott Walker and has GOP support in the state Senate, which was due to hold a vote on the measure today. But that was thwarted as Democratic lawmakers boycotted the session, leaving the Senate without enough members present for a vote. Republicans in the state legislature say the move is aimed at dealing with Wisconsin's budget woes. Protesters say it's a way to weaken the voice of labor. A new report from a team investigating the BP disaster in the Gulf of Mexico squarely blames poor decisions by management, not technical failures. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren says the report offers new evidence to bolster the mounting case against BP and its contractors.
The report cites new proof of serious problems with the cementing job done by Halliburton, and it says BP had plenty of warnings to predict these troubles. BP managers believed the Halliburton engineer assigned to the Macondo well for years wasn't cutting it. Still, BP failed to adequately review Halliburton's work, and BP and the rig owner, Transocean, failed to respond when test results indicated serious risks of a blowout. The report concludes that the blowout preventer was not the root cause of the disaster. Even if it had worked, it would not have prevented the explosion or the deaths of 11 men. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News, Washington.
The Conference Board says its gauge of leading economic indicators inched up 0.1% in January, growth but far from robust, and the Labor Department reports consumer prices rose 0.4%. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 29 points to close at 12,318. The Nasdaq rose 6. This is NPR. The father of the five classical pianists known as the Five Browns pleaded guilty today to child sexual abuse. NPR's Howard Berkus reports a spokesman for the group identifies the three Brown daughters as the victims.
The three are now married adults who play piano with two brothers in the classical group the Five Browns. They chose to be identified, their spokesman says, and are cooperating with police. News of sexual abuse charges against their father followed a bizarre car crash in a canyon outside Salt Lake City this week, in which Keith Brown's Porsche flew 300 feet off a mountain road and into a frigid creek. Brown and his wife were severely injured in the crash, but Keith Brown appeared in court Thursday to accept a plea agreement that carries a prison term of at least 10 years. Brown faced three counts of sodomy and child sexual abuse for incidents that date back two decades. The spokesman for the Five Browns says the group will continue with scheduled concerts. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Pakistan has until next month to decide whether an American who shot and killed two Pakistanis has diplomatic immunity. A Pakistani court today delayed a hearing on the matter, which has increased tensions between Islamabad and Washington. The Obama administration is urging Pakistan to free Raymond Davis, a U.S. embassy employee, and avoid setting a precedent for trying U.S. officials abroad. A naturalized U.S. citizen has been sentenced to life in prison for plotting to blow up New York's JFK International Airport. A federal jury last August found Russell DeFreitas guilty of conspiring to blow up buildings, fuel tanks, and pipelines at the airport. The 67-year-old from Guyana had worked at the airport as a cargo handler. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.